So Perakid Gimel opens up. Shmuel Beis Perakid Gimel.
Ve'acharechen.
What's acharechen? After the whole story with David and Bathsheba. You have it? Yeah. Here. Ve'acharechen. Yeah. After the whole story with David and Bathsheba. Now we're going to speak about the punishment that David got. Avshalom ben David, Achos Yafa u'shma Tamar. Avshalom, who was the son of David, had a sister, a very good-looking sister, by the name of Tamar. Ve'yehvel Amnon ben David. Amnon had a liking to this sister, called Tamar.
Yeah, more than a liking.
Yeah, a bit more than a liking. Mm-hmm. We're going to see exactly how it played out. But first of all, let's speak about a little bit the relationship between them. Were they full sisters? Were they half brother and sister? So the Malbim explains that Macha, who was the mother of Tamar and Avshalom, was an Eishes Yafas Toyar.
Right.
Eishes Yafas Toyar, the halacha is, if a man goes to war, he sees an unjust woman that he's attracted to, he can be with her one time. He can be with her one time in the middle of the war, in the battlefield, because the Torah wants the person to, so to speak, get the Yetzer Hara out of his system, get the, you know, that type of that desire out of her system. She was allowed to be with her one time in the battlefield. And at that point, this woman is still not Jewish. She's still not Jewish yet. So therefore, if she gets pregnant from this relation between this man and her in the battlefield, the kid who's born is now not considered related to any of her future children, even though biologically they are brother and sister, full brother and sister. They have the same exact parents, same father, the same mother. But because the mother was not Jewish when she gave birth to this kid,
she was pregnant.
When she was, therefore, halachically, they're not considered to be brother and sister.
Would we call him a ben soromora?
Well,
he was.
Well, yeah. I'm saying this is. We're talking about. We'll see. Now,
but Tamar is the daughter of David or not?
She is. She is the daughter.
Why so complicated? Why did it say directly Tamar is daughter of David?
What do you mean? So again, so what happened? The way.
Shalom sin David. Yeah.
Yeah.
If she has sister, this is but yes. The same as to say this is girl Tamar. What is daughter of David or not?
So again, so what happened was Macha was the mother of Tamar and Avshalom, and David was the father of Tamar and Avshalom. However, Tamar was born from a relation David had with Macha in the battlefield. Then she conceived right away, and she gave birth to Tamar. And then later on, when she converted, after she converted, she gave birth to another son by the name of Avshalom. So even though they are brother and sister, halachically they're not related. She's not related to any of the sons that will be born from David.
What bothered me about this whole business was David's got so many wives, and then everything else, all of a sudden, he goes out in the battlefield, isn't he, above this Mishigash? This Yafas Torah all of a sudden with him, he led another one.
Well, we'll see what happened with both Bathsheba. Over there, what mistake did he make with Bathsheba?
All right, that happened. Okay, didn't he learn his lesson?
No. The whole story with Macha happened way before Bathsheba. That happened way before.
Yeah,
we're not
talking about a plain soldier. We're talking about Dorota Mello talk to gun, everything else. And that's what bugs me. If he can do such a thing, what do they want from us? I keep thinking, you know. You know, I feel I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, but what do you want? You're putting me here. The true son of Israel, we're here. What can we do over here?
Well, you're right. Listen, first of all, the Torah understood that we're human, And that's why the Torah allowed any man who goes out to the battlefield to be intimate with a woman.
I understand, but I would think that he would be on a higher plane than a regular soldier.
Well, Chazal say when he...
But I guess he's not because of all the other stuff that happened here. But
well, the mistake with Batsheva was, it says that he thought, since he knew that his challenge would be in the area of desire, then when he went ahead and it said that instead of being with his wife only at night, he was with them during the day as well. So he wanted, so to speak, to get the type of the desire out of his system. Right, he figured if he was with his wife more often than usual, then he wouldn't have such a strong desire. That he was trying to prepare himself for the challenge that was going to be with Batsheva. But that was where he went wrong. Chazal say, "Eber kotan yesh ba'adam." There's a small organ in the human body. If you fulfill it, if you give it what he wants, then he becomes hungry. If you starve it, then he's satisfied. So it's counterintuitive to what you would think. You would think that the more you give it, the more you're satisfied. No. Taiva, desire, works exactly the opposite. The more you give it, the more he wants. The more it wants. That's the way desire works. So that was a mistake that David made. That was a mistake. So we see that he's not above, you know, this level. Listen, what happened? He's human as well. And it says, Lechato David elek de laris tshuva l'rabim. David was only sinned in order to show the path of tshuva, to show the path of repentance to everybody else.
Yeah, but that I read one place that that's what Adam had in mind.
When what?
That's why he did what it was supposed to show that he'll do it, and then it won't affect him, and he'll be able to be better off by doing something bad, showing that he can get over that. You know, and understand you're not supposed to do it, but that was his mistake,
right?
Because like you just said, it doesn't work that way,
right? Right.
If God told you don't do it, there's a reason for it.
The more you tell someone not to do something, the more a person wants to do it.
Yes. Maim gnuvim imtaku. Stolen waters are sweeter.
Well, I guess...
This water is not stolen, by the way. Don't worry.
Well, it says that whoever was a serpent, they talk it into the Chava that you can create worlds, you'll be like Hashem and everything else and everything else. So.
All right.
Right.
Let's go on.
Okay, let's see Vayter. So, Pasuk Beis continues. Vayter la'amnon lischalos ma'avur tamar achosek kivisulahi. Amnon became literally love sick. He was so in love, so desperately wanted to be with his sister that he became ill. He became ill, and because Yosef knew that there's no way that he would be able to be with her. Why not? Because they wouldn't let her marry him, because if they would let her marry him, then they would have to advertise the reason why she was allowed halachically to marry her brother, even though they were from the same father, must be because the whole story that we just explained with the Eishes Yifas Toyar. And they did not want to be the headlines in the newspaper the next day, so they wouldn't want Tamar to marry Amnon, because then everyone would know what happened over there. Not only that, but she was a basula. She was a virgin. And naturally, typically the basulas were very, very tenua. They're very humble. They would stay back. They wouldn't be out and about. So now we're going to see what he does in order to be with her. Vaypala be'ene Amnon lasis lamuma. Amnon could not think of any plan of how to be with her. Amnon Yonadav ben Shima achi David. Amnon had a friend. His name was Yonadav ben Shima, the brother of David. Yonadav ish chacham oid. Yonadav was a very wise man. Now it seems to be a dispute amongst the commentators. The Ralbag learns that Yonadav is what's called a chacham lahara. He was very wise but he used to use his wisdom, his wit, to do wrong, to do evil things. And that's the advice that he's going to give Amnon right now. However, the Malbim learns differently. The Malbim learns that Yonadav was a very good man. He was very wise, but his intentions were pure. He was giving advice to Amnon, hoping that Amnon would use the advice to get David to agree to give to get David to agree to the marriage of Amnon and Tamar. That was the real plan of Yonadav. Amnon misused the advice that Yonadav gave him, and he used it in order to get Tamar to be with him privately. So we'll see what happens. Vayerulai, Yonadav turns to Amnon and he says, "Madu atakachat dal ben amelach babaker haloi tagili." Yonadav, he was obviously very, very wise. He knew clearly that Amnon was lovesick. Apparently, one of the symptoms of someone who's lovesick is when they get up in the morning, they look very skinny. That's why he's telling him, "Why are you skinny when you get up in the morning?" It's a clear sign that you are lovesick. I am in love with Tamar, the sister of Avshalom. Nadav turns to him and he gives him advice. I want you to lie down on your bed, make believe you're sick. Again, it's not so hard for Amnon to do this because he really was sick. Make believe you're sick. When David, a melech, when your father comes to visit you, to do bigger choylim, comes to visit you, he wants to see what's wrong. Ask him to have Tamar come and wait on you. Now, what exactly would you want Tamar to do? You want Tamar to come and feed me bread, to cook the food in front of my eyes, and to feed me from her hands. What is the significance of all these details that he's telling him? Who cares how she feeds him? Who cares how she cooks these levivos, these latkes, whatever they are? So we mentioned before that any time it says the Torah refers to lechel lechem, eating bread, it's really code for an intimate relationship. We find that by Yosef and Potiphar. When he was in the house of Potiphar, it says that Potiphar allowed Yosef in all areas. He would give him a free hand. Ki im salechem asher hu oichel, except for the bread which he would eat. And Chazal explained what's it referring to. It's referring to his wife. You know, I'm giving you a free hand and everything except for getting close to my wife. There are many examples. But over here, this is what it's referring to. And he's telling him, he's giving advice of what exactly to ask David. I want you to ask him that she will cook it in front of me and feed it from my hands, from her hands. And David will understand on his own that the reason why he wants Tamar to feed him from her hands is because he loves her and he wants to be with her. And then David will give his blessing to them getting married. That was the plan that Yonadav gave Amnon. Again, his plan was, at least according to the Malbim, that David would allow them to get married. And Amnon just has to bring David to understand where he's holding in regards to Tamar.
Is that the only...
Daralbag learns...
You said the Malbim, but somebody else...
Right, Daralbag learns that he was giving him bad advice. He was just trying to get her to be with him privately in the room. Nah. And that's all he wanted.
So it's, according to him... All he's saying is, I can't eat.
Yeah, I can't eat.
I don't
feel
good. I'm
so sick, right.
If she comes and does this, it'll give me an appetite, and I'll be able to eat.
Right, I'll be able to eat.
David took the message wrong.
Well,
he took it like he wanted to take it.
According to the Malbim, he took it. Amnon really messed up the advice that you know they gave
him. Right.
That's what happens. So what happened? Ve'ishkav Amnon, Pasuk Vav, ve'ishkav Amnon ve'yischal. Amnon lay in his bed, he was sick. Ve'yavei ha'melech li'roisai, the king comes to visit him. Ve'yemer Amnon el ha'melech, tavirna tamar ha'chaisi v'telabav la'ina shtel avivais v'evre miyada. He's asking for exactly what Yonadav told him to ask. But however, he doesn't speak out the details. He just says it very quickly, just have her come, cook it in front of my eyes, and feed me. Feed me from her hand. According to the Malbim, Yonadav's plan was that he would speak out each detail. And as he would speak out each detail, David on his own will understand that he is in love with his sister.
You get killed over something like that.
What, being in love with your sister?
It happens anyway.
Okay, let's see.
It happens a little later on.
Let's see what happens. Vayishlach David is Tamar Abay Salem. Or David calls over Tamar. He tells her, Lechina bis'amen l'chich v'asi lo yabriya. Now we see that David did not get the message the way Yonadav intended, because he says, well, he doesn't mention that I want you to cook in front of his eyes, I want you to feed him from your hand. He just says, go to his house and cook him this food. And that's all he says. He doesn't speak out the details. So clearly,
give him food.
He did not write. Clearly, he did not get the message, the advice that Yonadav was hoping for. Tamar goes to the house of Amnon, he's lying down. She takes the dough, she prepares it, and she cooks these latkes in front of him.
She's a princess. What is she cooking for? She's plenty of
Well,
does she know how to cook? All right.
Apparently, she went to culinary school.
Who knows?
In the palace. But again, that was part of what Amnon wanted. He wanted someone that would make him feel better. If it would just be one of the servants, it would not necessarily make him feel better. But Tikach is a mashreis. She takes the food. She places it in front of him. He refuses to eat. Why does he refuse to eat? Because he wants her to feed from her hand. Amnon says, get everybody out of here. I just want it to be me and Tamar alone. He turns to Tamar and he tells her, I want you to feed me from your hand. So now, he now goes into an inner room, because again, he wants to get her and privately.
Alone.
He wants to get her alone. I'm saying they were alone before, because everybody left the room. But he's taking her into an inner room because he knew that it's not going to be pretty. Might be screaming and yelling. He didn't want anybody to hear. So he takes her into an inner room so nobody will hear what's going on. But Tagesh Elav Lechol, she's still very naive. She doesn't know what's going on. She brings him the food. He grabs her. I want you to be intimate with me. That's what he tells Tamar's sister. But Tamar, she tells him, Alachi, al taneni, do not torture me. Ki lo yasachim beYisrael, al taaseh sanavala azayis. Please do not do this lowly action. Now she's referring to a few things. First of all, it says, why does she use the lashon of hanavala hazais? The previous time it was used, this lashon was when Hamar went ahead and took hold of Dina, the daughter of Yaakov, and he took her to his palace. Hamar was the prince. He took her to the palace and he violated her. And right there it says, "Kinvala asa b'Yisrael lishkav es bas Yaakov v'chein lo yaase." The brothers of Dina turn to Yaakov and they tell him, "This nevala, this lowly action, could not be done to violate the daughter, your daughter." So Tamar is now referring back to that action, to that episode where Hamar violated Dina, and she tells him, listen, if you go ahead and go forward with this, this is going to be exactly like Hamar did with Dina. I advise you not to do so.
advise you.
Advise you not to do. So first of all, why? Right?
Maybe she didn't like him that way.
No, it says that she's telling him, we have to protect each other. We're brother and sister. If you humiliate me like this, then I'm going to be humiliated. You're going to be humiliated. No one's going to gain anything. I have a much better idea for you. V'ani ana aliches harpasi. Where will I bring my embarrassment? V'ata tiyekach tanivolim b'Yisrael. You will be humiliated as well. V'asa darbanu ala melech kiloim da'ini mimcha. She's telling him, I've got better advice. Why don't you go to David HaMelech, tell him explicitly what you want, and David might give his blessing. Why would he hold back from you? Meaning, she didn't have any problem of being with him, but she wanted it to be done in the right way. She didn't want it to be done like this.
All
right. He refused to listen to her. Vayechzak mimena vayanel vayishkov oisa. It says he held her and he tortured her and he violated her.
But he asked to talk with David because his father or because he is king?
Both. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying it was up to him to decide if this marriage was going to happen. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's his daughter. Second of all, he was in charge. Mm-hmm. He was the king.
But if not king, what relation that time? It should be approved by parents to marry, or this is kind of special case?
This definitely was a special case, yeah.
Because they were brother and sister.
Yes.
And this is need to approve by king.
Yes.
Not because his father.
Right.
But
right.
We learned this week, and past week said to the daughter of your father, right, or daughter of your mother, you're not allowed.
Said specifically.
But it's just as a specific case because
right.
of that.
Because of the issues of Astoyar, that's why they were allowed to get married.
No, he was allowed to marry her, but he wasn't allowed to violate her.
It's right,
because
no,
you're allowed to marry somebody, doesn't mean you can grab him and rape every
of
time
course.
You want.
No, there's no question that he did the wrong thing.
But guess me, he was. He was so in love with her. What does the next pasuk say?
We'll see. No.
Okay, so let's see.
What?
The next pasuk. The next
well,
pasuk. Right here. And then it says.
Okay, so let's see.
He pasuk. Forced her, he lay with her.
Right.
Right? Then he hated her.
Okay, wait, hold on. So it says, Vayanel, he tortured her. Mm-hmm. Meaning in the beginning, he laid with her shaloi kadarka. Not in the usual way, because he did not want her to lose her virginity. And then, when he could not fulfill his desire, he laid with her the usual way, and she lost her virginity. Then the next pasuk says, "Vayisnael Amnon sina gadol ma'ot." He hated her with such great hatred. Kigdol asina asher sinea me'avo asher aheva. The hatred that he hated her was greater than the love that he loved her before he was with her.
Why?
Okay, so let's see. Vayomer lo Amnon kumi lechi. So a few things. Chazal say, Ava tluya b'davar, batal davar, batal ava. Love that is dependent on something, if that something is gone, so too the love is gone as well.
And it's not love.
Right, meaning it's not love. So the Malbim explains.
It's
he says,
desire.
Right, he says,
whatever
because
he wanted.
He
didn't, because right after he got it, he said, what am I doing? What did I do? You know.
Right.
You blind yourself.
Exactly. So the album says that because this love wasn't true love, it was what it called a tava kalbi, an animalistic desire. And once that desire was gone, meaning it wasn't true love. It wasn't true love. It was just an animalistic desire. Once that desire was fulfilled, then the love, so to speak, that he had before was gone as well. Why was it gone? Why did he hate her now? Because he realized how he degraded himself by being with her. And that upset him very much.
But it's not her fault. It's his fault.
Okay. So you're right.
One more. I told you to do it. All right, you could understand. He realized he did something bad and everything else. It's not her fault, it's his fault. He hates her now. I mean, why? Because he was there. What right has he got to hate her?
Well, you're right.
That's what bugs
it's me. Not.
He's the one that did the wrong thing.
You're right.
That's because she was there. What do you want? What should he have? She have done? Hit him over the head with a thing and stopped
the frying
him.
Pan.
She said a swift kick.
Hey, you were talking about a young girl that's not too strong. I mean, what the heck? What can she do?
We're obviously not talking about a.
Let me tell you something.
Righteous guy.
If she could have stopped him, she would have.
I'm sure she would. Mm-hmm. She tried to talk him out of it, unsuccessfully.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all of a sudden
get rid of his servants, and there's no one around, and she could yell Chai V'Chaim, and it doesn't.
This thing, this not that he's had, seems to me he's compounding his sin. Blaming her.
Right. You're right. It doesn't make any sense. There is no line of reasoning, but because she was the cause, so to speak, for him to be humiliated. She didn't cause it. It wasn't her intention, but because she was the you know.
Yeah, but he's
blaming the victim.
Yeah, there you go. That's
she's a victim.
Not me. It was the other guy's fault. I didn't cause that accident. It was the other.
Always blaming somebody else.
That's all. I was gonna blame somebody.
I was gonna blame somebody else. But one more thing, we see the Gemara says that Nima Kosherloi Ve'asa'asli Krus Shavcha. She did something to him, and she made him into a Krus Shavcha, where he cannot have any children anymore. Meaning she basically got back at him for violating her, and she...
Maybe that's why he was bad.
Yeah, that's why he hated her. That's why he hated
good
her so much.
Her.
Huh?
I say it's good for her.
Yeah.
He got what he deserved.
Yeah, it's a wicked person. He's get punished.
Yeah.
Was
so
he married before? Did he have any... No?
I haven't seen that he was married.
You may have brought this. So obviously, Avshalom and Tamar must have been twins. You said they.
No, they weren't twins. They were biological brother and sister.
Yeah.
However, Tamar was born from the first relation David had in the battlefield with the Eshet Safastayar, Macha.
She was
Tamar
Jewish
was born from that relation.
Yeah.
And then later on, once the mother converted, Macha converted, she gave birth to Avshalom.
Okay.
Now we can understand why he hated her.
Yeah,
no, right. I
it's a ball through.
Yeah,
but I would go this here.
He's a eunuch.
Yeah.
No, I would think
now I get the picture.
He realized what he did was because he wasn't in love. He didn't really want to marry her. He had a bad desire which he shouldn't have had, and he did this thing here. And he hated it happened. That's what I think. It's her fault.
He almost uses this
he
as
hated
an example
that he couldn't control himself.
Oh. Right.
How about that?
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
You know, sometimes after you do something, geez, why did I do this?
David
if I had any brains, I wouldn't have done that. Now you're mad at yourself, and you let that happen.
Each other, which
right.
Was, you know,
like that.
Any
right.
Sort of.
Yeah,
you know, preconditions
definitely.
and Amnon and Tamar, the love Amnon had for Tamar, not the love between them. Love he was a totally selfishly motivated.
Lost.
Definitely,
that is the example.
Yeah, I lost.
Yeah.
He had this good time. He yells, "Get out of here!"
Right, but Tamar like Ali does a wrong. Dela zayis macheres asher. Wait. So he tells her. He tells her to leave. Then, pasuk design. He tells her. She tells him. But terminally, al idoyes harag gedola zayis ba'cheres hashar asisa imila shalcheni le'av lishmael. Now she's telling him. Now they want to send me away. This is even worse than what you did to me previously. Previously, you violated me. That was bad enough. But now they want to send me off. That's even worse. The halacha is, if a person violates a woman, he has to marry her.
Yeah.
He has to keep her. Amnon is now sending her away. He refuses to marry her. So she tells him, at least marry me. Okay, you did this to me. This is horrible. But at least marry me now. No one's going to want to marry me.
Did she become pregnant through this?
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. It says you're compounding your sin. What do you want from my life?
Yeah,
you did this to me. Now you're throwing me away. What am I going to do now?
Yeah, veigrel nari misharsoi v'yomer shilchanos zois me'olei achutzo when olei das acharei. He calls a servant and he tells him, "Take this woman, throw her out, and lock the door behind her." This guy is clearly very upset. Ve'olei kasonis pasim kichentil bashno b'nois amelach b'sulis me'ilim v'yetzos achutzo. So, the Navi now is explaining the whole attire of the Basulis, the virgins who lived in the palace. The way it worked was there was a Kasinus passing, which was the undergarment, and then there was the Me'il, which was the outer garment.
You couldn't wear it anymore.
No, so while he was doing this, while Amnon was doing this, he took off the me'il, he took off the top garment, and he left her with the undergarment. She was still wearing that. And the way he threw her out basically in her underwear, in her undergarment, in a very humiliating way. He didn't even give her clothes to wear as he threw her out. She was wearing only this kasanis pasim, which was the undergarment. ותיקח תמר אפר לראשו, כסן ספס המשר עליה, קרה, she takes ashes, puts it on her head, and she takes the כסן ספס, this undergarment, she tears as if she's an avelus, in mourning, ותעשה מיד על ראשו, ותלך הולך בזעקה. She puts her hand on her head, and she starts screaming and crying, and now everybody knows exactly what happened. Well, very humiliating, very embarrassing.
She couldn't wear it anymore. That was only when virgins were. Well, she wasn't a virgin anymore.
Right. She's not a virgin anymore. It's interesting that that Amnon initially wanted to have her remain a virgin. Even though he was going to be intimate with her, he wanted to do it in a way where she was going to stay a virgin. But when his tithe was not fulfilled, then he took away her virginity. So Avshalom, who is again her biological brother, but luckily they're not brother and sister because Tamar was born from before her mother converted. So she said, he tells her, "Is it true that Amnon, your brother, was with you?" And wants you to be quiet. A few reasons. First of all, he's your brother. Don't go ahead and advertise this. I know that you're hurt. I know that it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But it's better to just let it go. Better to let it go. It's not going to help if you keep thinking about this.
Do we hear about Tamar any place else? Or that's the end of the...
That's pretty much the end of it, yeah. You don't hear of her anymore.
Just like, what's his name? Was it his daughter?
Who?
What did this episode have to do?
Jacob?
We're learning about King David. I mean, why was it put in here?
Because we're going to see. I don't think we're going to get to it today. But this led to the death of Amnon. And that was part of the punishment of David and Melech for being with Bathsheba.
Yeah,
that's why it's brought. That's why it's brought over here.
But when he heard about it, he was rotten. No kidding.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was not happy.
That was
Yehuda's daughter. Yeah, that's a different story. That's a different Tamar. It says that she used to go out and, you know, she was a very social girl. She would hang out with her friends and she would go out and walk around. After that episode, she just stayed in the house all day. She did not leave. She stayed in the house of her brother, Avshalom.
She was ashamed.
Yeah, she was ashamed. She was embarrassed. She was depressed. So
I had a hitman.
Well,
I would call the mafia up and say, "Hey."
Well, Avshalom didn't need the mafia. He himself.
Break his legs.
He himself was the mafia.
You'll see.
The Melech David Shomas called very ma'elav eicholay ma'ed. David Melech heard about this and he was very, very upset. However, he didn't do anything. He did not give Amnon any teichacha. Did not give him any teichacha. And Avshalom, who is seeing what's happening, is very upset. What's going on? Amnon can get away with this scot-free just because he's the oldest brother? How could that happen? That's why Avshalom decided to take matters into his own hands.
Yeah. All right, but it says when David heard about this, he was very aggravated. What did he do about it?
Nothing.
Yeah. That's what we see.
That was a problem.
It's a father with his kids. You know, he loves them all, no matter what they do. My kid, you know, he's the best kid in the world.
Yeah, you're right. David HaMelech, there's no question, he did the wrong thing by not telling Amnon.
So that's why,
and that led to what's going to happen later.
So Avshalom.
That's why Avshalom. He realized David HaMelech is not doing anything. He's not telling Amnon.
I get it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he decided to take matters into his own hands. Amnon did not speak to Avshalom at all. No good nor bad. Avshalom hated Amnon for what he did to Tamar's wife. Now, we're not going to have time to finish the parak because it goes on. It's very long. Hopefully we'll do this next week. But I just want to end off with one final point. It says that Avshalom did not speak to Amnon.
At all.
At all.
Good or bad, he just avoided him.
Completely avoided him. Mm-hmm. Now, the Mefarshim take Avshalom to task for not speaking to Amnon. We're going to see, and I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Avshalom goes ahead and kills Amnon. He's got this whole plot of how he did it. And this could have been avoided with dialogue. If Avshalom went ahead and told Amnon, "I'm very upset at you," right? Now, I don't know if Amnon would have an excuse. He would argue with him, whatever it was. But if Avshalom, the Mefarshim say, if Avshalom would go ahead and speak to Amnon, then this whole story with Amnon being killed by Avshalom could have been avoided.
Do you think if he could have went in and said,
"You're a bad boy. Get back
with her, and maybe don't let you marry her." Not that this happened before either fate, but now maybe he would. Would that be something?
That was a possibility. But Avshalom didn't even speak to him. He didn't address him. He didn't go over to him. He didn't complain to him. Nothing. And because he let the hatred fester in his heart, that's what led to these horrible events where Amnon was killed by his brother Avshalom. That refers back to a pasuk in the end of last week's parasha, Parashas Kedoshim. It says, "L'tisnei sachicha b'levavecha," do not hate your brother in your heart. Mm-hmm. Right? "Ocheach tochiach esamisecha," rebuke your brother. "L'tisa olav chet," do not bear upon him sin. Mm-hmm. Why does the pasuk single out this single form of hatred, of hating someone in your heart? Exactly because of this. The Rambam says it's referring to a case like this, where Avshalom did not speak to Amnon. He let the hatred fester in his heart. The hatred grew and grew. And unfortunately, there were terrible, terrible...
He's trying to figure out a way to, I'll get back at him.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Exactly. And it could have been avoided. It couldn't have been avoided if he just would have spoken to him. So, we learn from this, if you're upset at someone, tell them. It says, by the brothers of Yosef, it says, they couldn't say hello to him.
Right.
And the Chazal say, "P'tech gnusam lamad neshivcham." Out of their negative, this is the whole negative story, we learned that they were righteous people, meaning on the level that, even though they were upset with him, they let him know. They told him, that, you know, we're not talking to you anymore, we're not going to even say hi to you. So even though they hated him, but they let him know, and that is a much lower level of hatred, where you're not...
Well, if your guy doesn't know you hate me, you can't watch out
right,
for him.
Exactly. That's why, hey, we're going to see, that's why Avshalom is so successful in the plot of killing Avshalom. Yeah. He was successful because Amnon didn't even suspect anything.
It sounds like, first of all, when he's telling Tamar, he's trying to say, you know, don't disgrace your brother and all this stuff. But it seems like he already had, he was cooking. And,
yeah.
You know, gives away his hate, you know, if he lets Amnon know that he knows what happened, then it could foil his plan.
That could be, but it says, after he told Tamar not to say anything, it says afterwards that David heard about it and he didn't say anything.
That's
right. Meaning Avshalom was upset about that as well.
Yeah.
It was all build up. First he was upset for, you know, Tamar being violated. Yeah. And then when he saw David HaMelech didn't do anything, that's when he really decided to take matters into his own hands.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he took it out later on, Avshalom, on his father.
Well, I mean,